Support You All the Way, a Clint Barton / Matt Murdock fic, written and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Chapter 1. Coming Out to Yourself. "Babe?" Matt asked, carefully approaching his girlfriend. "Are you okay? You've been different recently. Distant." They'd been dating for almost 2 years at that point, after almost literally running into each other on the street one day. Natalie had been in thought, not looking where she was walking, and she hadn't heard the voices, steps, or the soft clicking of Matt's cane. Matt, in turn, had been in conversation with Foggy, and only his friend's reflexes were the reason they hadn't actually collided back then. Natalie had never been particularly confident in her body or sexuality, but recently Matt had noticed how she was pulling back more when Matt was trying to get close, and how she hid behind closed doors, under blankets, and in baggy clothes, even at home and from Matt, who couldn't see her in the first place. I'm just not feeling super great, I guess," Natalie muttered, her voice shaking a little as she pulled back from her partner ever so slightly. "Sweetheart," Matt sighed, sitting on the couch next to her, making sure they weren't touching. He turned to face her and continued the conversation in sign. Even after learning ASL for over 2 years, he wasn't close to confident or fluent yet, but Matt knew his partner felt more comfortable talking about different topics in her own language. "You're barely letting me close to you anymore. You're skittish and twitchy. I can hear you crying in the bathroom. Did I do something wrong? Or did something happen that I don't know about?" "No," Natalie exclaimed surprisedly, even while Matt was still signing. "You didn't do anything wrong. Nothing happened." "Is it something at work then? Do you have a bad client, or are you just overworked?" Matt continued, trying to find anything she jumped on to get some kind of hint on what was going on. "No," Natalie sighed, taking her coffee mug from the table in front of her. "It's nothing specific, I guess." "Tell me what it is, babe. I want to be here for you, but I can't do that if you won't let me in," Matt sighed, lifting his head a little and offering his partner a soft but worried smile. Natalie sighed again, muttering the answer into her mug so quietly that Matt was sure she didn't hear it herself. "It's me. I don't think I'm actually a girl." "Oh, baby," Matt sighed, relieved. "I was so worried that someone hurt you." He carefully rested a hand on his partner's leg and stroked his thumb over the rough fabric of her jeans. "Hey, darling," he said, waiting until he was mostly sure the other was looking at him. "I'm proud of you for telling me." "I'm sorry," Natalie muttered, eyeing Matt for a moment. "Don't be." Matt shook his head and offered a fond, gentle smile. "That's a difficult thing to realize about yourself." "I get if you want to leave," she muttered, her voice starting to break. "No, baby, I love you. I love you. That doesn't change, no matter what your gender is, how you choose to present it, or what you want me to call you. As long as you are you, you're happy, and you still want to share your life with me, I'll be by your side." "But," Natalie breathed, clearly trying to put words to the overwhelming chaos of emotions she was feeling. Matt noticed the sound of skin on skin as was her signing, but he didn't think it was much more coherent than her stumbled rambling. "Hey." He lightly rested his hands on hers, stilling the movement but still allowing her to pull away if she wanted to. "Come here," he suggested once she had calmed down a little. Natalie didn't answer, but she crawled over to sit between his legs and rest her head on his chest almost immediately. "I have no idea what I'm supposed to be," she admitted after a few minutes when her breathing had calmed down again and she wasn't shaking anymore. "You're supposed to be yourself. The rest are just details, and we're going to figure those out sooner or later." Matt sighed after a moment of consideration. He rested his head on hers and wrapped his arms around her waist. "I promise you that, whatever the answer will be in the end, I'll love you, and I'll always support you and your journey." "Why are you not upset?" Natalie asked hesitantly after another long minute of silence. "Sweetheart, I got to know you as a beautiful woman, but that's not all you are. Your gender isn't everything you are, and it definitely isn't the reason I love you. He closed his eyes for a moment, simply enjoying the feeling of his partner in his arms. How about I make us some dinner and you pick a show or a movie to watch so you can get your mind off things a little and relax? Matt suggested, nuzzling his face in her hair. And maybe later or tomorrow we can talk about it a little more when you have a clear head. Natalie nodded against his chest but didn't make a move to get up or even sit on her own so Matt could stand. Is there something else I can do for you right now? Matt gently ran a hand through her hair and stroked the long bronze strands out of her face while she answered. I'm not a girl. She repeated it weakly. Okay, Matt said. Do you know what you are? Natalie shook her head. Just that I'm not this. Is there something I can call you that makes you more comfortable? Matt suggested, tilting his head a little. No one else knows. No one has to know until you're ready. I can just use it at home, when we're alone. Or we can wait until you're sure. Can you not touch me without asking? Her voice was shy now, and Matt could feel her blush where his hand was touching her face. I know touch means a lot to you, and it's how you see the world, but... When she trailed off, Matt offered her another smile. Of course, I can do that. It's your body, and I can be close to you in other ways when you prefer that. Thank you, she muttered, curling up closer against him. Hey, sweetie, how about I order some pizza instead? Then you barely have to let go of me at all, Matt suggested. And pizza always makes you feel better. Natalie nodded again, already fishing Matt's phone from his pocket and handing it to him. You're so sweet sometimes, Matt chuckled, already dialing the number of a favorite pizza place. Chapter 2. Haircuts. Matty? Natalie asked a few weeks later. They had gotten back into a more normal rhythm with the relationship, and even if she still shied away from touch and changed into oversized hoodies and baggy sweatpants almost as soon as she was home, Natalie was starting to get more comfortable again. Yes, sweetheart? Matt pushed the document he had been reading to the side a little, signaling that Natalie had his full attention. I think I want to get a haircut, they muttered. The pure thought of letting anyone touch his hair sent a shiver over Matt's skin. But he ignored it and instead tried to think about all the possibilities Natalie had with her long hair. Oh, that's fun. What were you thinking about? I want to get an undercut. She seemed hesitant and worried about his reaction, but Matt just smiled. That's a nice idea, he told them. Gives you a lot more flexibility to try stuff, and it's nice not to have so much hair on your neck in the summer, too. You think it's a good idea? She asked, surprised. Matt chuckled fondly. I think it's a great idea. Natalie came closer, running her hands through her hair and probably checking her reflection in the mirror through the open bedroom door. You think it'll look good? She asked hesitantly. Darling, you're asking your blind boyfriend that. Matt chuckled and stepped closer. Can I touch you? When she hummed her confirmation, he walked up behind her, trying to estimate eye contact over her shoulder in the mirror while he ran his hand through her hair the way she had a moment before. You have beautiful long hair. It's soft and it smells like eucalyptus. I think it suits you, no matter how you wear it. But recently you have always had it pulled up, just out of the way, no matter what you were doing. You barely let it down long enough so it can dry after taking a shower. He felt Natalie nod under his hands. It's making you uncomfortable, right? She nodded again and Matt allowed himself a risky guess. It feels too feminine for you, huh? Natalie nodded again. Slower this time. And if you had a new haircut, would you be happier with it? Would you start playing with it again? Maybe wear it open sometimes, or let me braid it for you. It took her a moment to react, this time, but Natalie nodded again, this time also mumbling an answer. I could wear it up and have it look more masculine, or I could wear it down and it would look almost the same. Or I could style the long parts without having it look super girly. Matt smiled, brushing a kiss on her cheek. I think that sounds perfect for you right now, and it sounds like you put a lot of thought into it. They nodded again. I wanted it for a while, but I wasn't brave enough yet. She paused for a moment, then turned to face Matt and added, And I didn't know what you'd say. I say go for it. I think it's going to suit you. He chuckled and stole a quick kiss from her lips. Besides, freshly trimmed undercuts are one of the most satisfying things to touch, so I'm always here for that. Love you, Natalie muttered, leaning against Matt and resting her head on his shoulder. I love you, Matt signed back before wrapping his arms around her. You're gonna rock your new hairstyle. I just know it. A few days later, Natalie had an appointment at Matt's usual hair salon for the first time in a long while. Usually, she just cut the ends herself or maybe let a friend bring a little bit of shape to it. But for this, she wanted a professional to do it, at least the first time. On the day of the appointment, both Natalie and Matt were working from home. But while Matt had been sitting at his desk, working on case files for most of the morning, Natalie hadn't been so productive. Darling? Matt addressed her when it was almost time for her to leave the house. Yeah, I know, Natalie muttered, spinning in her office chair. Want me to come with you? Matt asked, smiling fondly about her nervousness. For moral support? You can't see what he's doing anyway, Natalie sighed. They had been going between excited and almost depressed with worry ever since they had first talked about it. No, I can't. Matt agreed, getting up and crossing the room in a few sure steps. He rested his hands on her chair to stop her while she was facing him. But I can be there for you, and I can distract you when you're getting too nervous. You don't have to, they muttered, not looking at him. No, Matt agreed again, but if you want me to, I'd be happy to accompany you. For a moment, Natalie was quiet, fidgeting slightly now that she couldn't spin her chair anymore. Then she sighed and nodded. I hate going to get my hair cut by someone I don't know, she admitted. I can't wear my aids, so I can't hear them talk to me. Then take me with you, and I can interpret for you. He moved to cup her face, but stopped before they actually make contact. Natalie pulled his hands against her after a second, resting her hand on top of his. I know him. He's doing a good job with accessibility. Or at least he always has for me. After the appointment, Matt and Natalie left the salon. Are you happy? He asked her, holding onto her elbow to be guided along the busy sidewalk almost automatically. Yeah, they said it shyly, a smile clearly sounding in their voice. It feels nice, and I like how it looks. It's a lot shorter than I originally wanted, but it's just hair, right? It's gonna grow back. Yeah, Matt agreed. That's the thing. It always does. You can always try new stuff. You wanna feel it? She offered, leaning against him flirtatiously. Let's go home first. Matt smiled, brushing a kiss on her cheek before hooking his hand around their arm. I want to take my time to tell you all about how handsome you are. Chapter 3. Chest dysphoria. Matt heard something be thrown to the ground, not for the first time that morning. This time there was also the soft oomph of Natalie dropping onto the bed, and a moment later, the quiet sobbing of someone who tried to hide their tears. Matt walked up to the bedroom door, knocking and asking, "Can I come in?" When nothing happened, Matt repeated it a little louder, but still got no answer.
It was unsurprising. Natalie probably wasn't wearing her hearing aids yet and simply couldn't hear him.
Instead of knocking again, Matt slipped the door open a little and flicked the lights a few times. This brought a reaction. Natalie stirred in the bed, pulling the blankets over themselves and whining. Don't look! Matt sighed, walking up to the bed and sitting on the mattress a few inches away from them. It took a moment until Natalie reacted to that. Sorry, they said, pushing themselves into more of a sitting position and pulling the heavy blankets around their shoulders. Not a good day, Matt sighed, focusing on all the signals he could get from her. No, she said. The fabric was rustling as she moved, probably shaking her head. You have that meeting today, right? Matt remembered. Yeah, Natalie muttered, as if it wasn't hard enough to get any of these idiots to do their job. What made you cry? Matt took his glasses off and put them on a nightstand while his partner tried to find the right words. Not a girl, they muttered. It had become almost a mantra, an answer to everything that made them feel bad about themselves. I know, Matt sat cross-legged in front of her, offering an understanding smile. But what exactly was it this time? They all treat me like one, Natalie sniffled, scooting closer so that their legs touched and the blanket hung over Matt's knees a little. And I can't exactly stop them. I even look like one. I have to act like one. Is there something that you can change that would make you more comfortable with the way you look? Matt asked, trying to offer a gentle, calming smile. Natalie sniffled again, and when she answered, her voice was barely more than a breath. I want to try binding my chest, they admitted. Would that make you more comfortable in your body and your clothes? Matt asked, trying to convey that it was a genuine question. Natalie didn't answer, but after a moment, Matt realized that she had probably nodded. Did you just nod at me? He asked, chuckling a little. Yes, sorry, Natalie laughed. Talking is... it's hard. I know, Matt nodded, offering to lean on him. A big hug, and then we see what we can do right now so you can get to that meeting and kick those idiots' butts. It took a few more weeks until Natalie had actually made the decision to get a binder, and when she ordered it, it took almost 2 more weeks until they actually arrived. But on the day it did, she was happier than she had been in a long time. Is it everything you ever wanted? Matt asked, almost immediately upon coming home, even before Natalie could tell him about it. How do you know? They asked. Wait, you aren't actually blind. You've just been playing that all this time for the benefits. Yes, darling. I've been playing blind for years because it's so much more fun to have people describing everything to me. I knew it! Natalie laughed triumphantly, walking up to Matt, taking off his glasses and resting the hands around his hips. What are you doing? He chuckled after a minute of silence. I'm trying to figure out how you're so good at unfocusing those pretty eyes. They laughed, stealing a long kiss. After they parted, they brushed another kiss on his jaw before asking again, how do you know? You move differently. There's a spring in your step that hasn't been there for a long time. And you were humming something. Matt laughed and blushed a little. Also, I got the email with the tracking information. Natalie chuckled again. Yeah, it's great. I think maybe it's a little big, but maybe that's not so bad for the first one. She took her hand off Matt and instead took his wrist to guide his hands to her shoulders. Look, it's not perfect, but... Wow, that's a huge difference. Matt was honestly surprised. He knew how much of a difference a good binder could make, but he had never actually seen or felt it on anyone. I bet it's even less noticeable under a shirt or a sweater, right? He asked, joining in Natalie's happiness. Yeah. With a bit of a baggier shirt, it looks so much better than before. They pulled him closer again, and it gives me so much more confidence. And with a hair like this, the whole vibe is much more like what I'm actually feeling. That's so exciting. Matt smiled brightly, cupping their face and kissing them again. I'm so glad at how you imagined. Chapter 4. Getting misgendered. Another few weeks later, Matt was home early after a successful court date. When Natalie came home, they didn't acknowledge him. They merely dropped their bag, jacket, shoes, and warm winter clothes by the door and stormed into the bedroom. Matt sighed, putting down his book, and went to make coffee. It wasn't a thing that happened often, but it definitely wasn't the first time that Natalie came home frustrated at their coworkers or just the world in general. While the coffee was brewing, Matt could hear his partner rustling around in the bedroom, once again throwing clothes to the floor and finally collapsing themselves, crying quietly. It was painful to know that they were this frustrated, but over the years, Matt had learned that Natalie sometimes just needed a moment to clear their head before they could deal with things in a more rational way. And as long as they didn't hurt themselves or others, there was really no reason to try and get them to cope differently. Once the coffee was done, Matt poured it into 2 mugs, adding milk and a little bit of caramel syrup to them before he went to the bedroom. Natalie had left the door open, their clothes were lying on the ground across the room, and Matt had to be careful not to trip over them as he made his way to his partner, who was sitting on the floor, leaning against the bed frame. They were shirtless and crying quietly into the fabric of their jeans. Matt simply sat on the ground, facing them, put the mugs down and gently rested a hand on their shoulder. Coffee? He signed once Natalie was looking up, and he cut them off before they could even start apologizing for things that weren't a problem or even their fault. I put your favorite syrup in it. Thank you. Natalie's voice was quiet and rough, probably from not speaking a lot that day. I love you, Matt signed, then handed them their mug before taking a sip of his own. Today was going so great, they muttered after a moment. I got to sleep in a bit, then went to work and didn't even have to deal with any idiots. I went to get a few groceries and took a walk in the snow. That sounds very nice, Matt agreed. You've been waiting for snow for weeks. It's very pretty, Natalie nodded. I wish I could show it to you. Matt took his glasses off and thought of reply for a moment, settling on a simple, I would like to see that. After a moment, Natalie put their mug down, put the blankets they had pulled off the bed closer around their shoulders, and brought their knees closer to their bare chest. Why am I even doing all this? They asked, resting their chin on their knees. Because it makes you more comfortable and confident. It's a part of who you are, Matt signed, tilting his head a little. It doesn't work, Matt, Natalie sighed, close to tears again. No one ever sees me as anything but a woman. I'm sorry for that. Matt scooted a little closer so that his knees touched Natalie's legs. I wish I could help you. I wish I could do more than this. It wasn't even anything big, Natalie continued, letting the blanket drape over Matt's legs. I just walked along the street, and there was this lady with her dog, and I waited to let her pass, but the dog decided to stop, so it was a little awkward. She told the dog that it was not being very nice, but she said she, which, like, I'm not doing all this to get misgendered to a futzing dog. That's such an unnecessary situation, too, Matt sighed, trying for a sympathetic smile that mostly ended up being a combination of frustration and compassionate anger. I don't know if this is even all worth it, they muttered. No one ever gets it. No one ever looks at me and thinks of me as a guy, or anything but a woman. I don't know why I even bothered trying. If you're this frustrated by a small comment, don't you think that's a sign that you're going in the right direction? Matt asked carefully. It's obvious how much it means to you to be perceived the way you feel. And if that's not working with what you're doing, then maybe you just have to keep going until even the last idiot understands it. It's not that simple, Natalie mumbled. No one said it would be, Matt agreed. But that doesn't mean you should give up on it. Because even though it's not working as well as you had hoped yet, it's still making you happy. You make little happy jumps every time you dress in an outfit that makes you look the way you imagine, and you have to stop yourself from giggling happy every time someone gets it right and uses your new pronouns. Natalie sighed. Can we watch a movie later? Just some quiet time? Of course. Matt smiled. We can start right now if you want, and we don't have to leave the apartment until Monday if you don't want to. My wonderful partner has already bought all the groceries we need. I love you, they chuckled, putting their mug down and crawling over to Matt to brush a kiss on his forehead. You're incredibly gorgeous, just the way you are. Matt gently kept their face with one hand, signing with the other. Don't ever let some stranger tell you anything else. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. I just want someone to look at me and see me the way I feel, they sighed. I'm not a girl. Why can't the world just understand that? I don't know, sweetheart. Matt tilted his head, studying them in his own way. How about I go get you your favorite sweater off the laundry rack and you pick our first movie? You washed my sweater? Natalie sniffled a little. Yeah, Matt chuckled. You've been saying you would, but we both know you would just leave it there until you're frustrated enough that the weird stains and the kind of strange smell doesn't bother you anymore. It's supposed to smell like you, they muttered. It smells like my laundry detergent, and I'll hug you until it smells like me again, Matt promised. Now, go get into bed. It's snowing outside. It's way too cold for you to sit around half naked, he ordered, letting Natalie steal another kiss before he had climbed into bed and wrapped themselves up in every blanket they had. Chapter 5. Not a mental crisis, a gender crisis. I have a piercing appointment next week, Natalie announced when Matt came home from work. Also, I don't like my name. It's weird. Wait, back off, like 4 steps. Matt took off his glasses and ran a hand over his face. The entire apartment was filled with a faint chemical smell that immediately gave him a headache. First of all, hey, I miss you too. Thank you, my day was good. Matt put his bag and coat down. Tell me what is happening here, please. He sighed, holding out a hand for his partner to take. You smelled funny. And you sounded a little... euphoric? Sorry. Natalie chuckled, taking a deep breath and centering themselves while linking their fingers with Matt's. Come here? Matt asked, offering a gentle hug. When Natalie nodded and hummed quietly, Matt pulled him closer, brushing a gentle kiss on his cheek. Love you. Wait, is that hair dye? Is that why you smell so funny? He stirred a little, noticing not just the strange smell, but also that there was no hair brushing against his face, like it had just that morning, but he decided to let it go for now. His partner blushed, ducking the head a little. Maybe? Matt chuckled tiredly, raising a skeptical eyebrow in his general direction. I had a little moment earlier, Natalie admitted sheepishly. Was getting a piercing part of that moment? Matt asked, resting his hands on his partner's hips worriedly. Yeah, Natalie nodded, carefully cupping his face. Come, let me make you some dinner and I'll tell you everything. That would be very nice. Matt nodded, brushing a kiss on their hand. Thank you. Natalie studied him for a moment, then let go slowly, letting Matt take off the rest of his outer clothes while they went into the kitchen to start preparing dinner. What color? Matt asked, flopping onto one of the kitchen chairs with a tired sigh a few moments later after he had changed into more comfortable clothes. It's purple, Natalie chirped. Then he paused for a moment and hummed thoughtfully. Also, I may have given myself a buzz cut? Yeah, I could tell, Matt laughed. Or, well, not quite tell, but I knew something was different. You want to touch it? They're offering, putting a lid on the pot and walking around the counter. Only if you promise my hands won't be purple after. Matt chuckled, getting up and walking to them with a hand on the counter for orientation. Natalie ran a hand through his hair, then looked at it. Nope, not purple at all. He carefully took Matt's hand and guided it to his own head. Here. Matt closed the distance between them, then ran his hand through their hair. It's very short, he noted, smiling. Do you like it? I fucking love it, Natalie laughed. I can't stop touching it, and every time I look in the mirror, I make those happy little jumps you think are so adorable. They are very adorable, Matt kissed him. You are very adorable. It's a bit messy, but Natalie started, but Matt just kissed them to cut them off. It feels perfect, Matt told them. Tell me more about the color. It's like purple, he shrugged, blushing. Like a red purple or a blue purple? Or more pastel? And is it still light because your hair is fairly light, or did you pick a darker color? Matt asked, teasing him a little. It's, Natalie frowned. What? I wasn't always blind, remember, sweetheart? Matt told them, resting a hand on their neck. I know my colors, even if my memories of them is starting to get a little foggy. They chuckled again. You got me there. They ran a hand through their hair again. It's like a darkish lavender, I guess? Like, pale, but kind of bluish. Matt hummed, nodding thoughtfully. Sounds nice. I really like it, Natalie said, stealing another kiss before he went back to the bubbling pot. That's good. Matt leaned on the counter, listening to them cut some vegetables. That's all I want. You're not mad? They asked hesitantly, looking up to study him for a moment. No, of course not. Matt chuckled fondly, offering them a smile. I want you to be happy. If cutting off all your hair and dyeing it purple makes you happy, then that's a good thing. And if paying someone to stab a needle through some part of your body does the same, then I will come and hold your hand if you want. You don't like piercings? Natalie asked, biting his lip. You want me to... No. Matt cut them off immediately. I mean, yes, I like them. And no, you don't cancel the appointment. I mean it. If you want to do this, and you're sure about it, then you should do that. He took one of the many trinkets his partner has scattered all over the apartment and ran it through his hands. And if you want me to come with you, for moral support, or whatever, then I'd love to join you. That would be nice, Natalie muttered. It's not a lip piercing, right? Matt asked, trying to keep his tone and expression light. Because I have never kissed anyone with a lip piercing, and I'm not sure if I could get used to that. It's not, they laughed, pouring the vegetables into the pot. It's a rook, an ear piercing. Like, they trailed off, walking around the counter again and carefully resting a hand on Matt's chin to turn it in his direction. Then he traced his finger over the curve of Matt's ear, resting it in the right position for the piercing. Right there. Matt did the same, tracing over Natalie's chin and finding the same spot on their ear. There? He asked, smiling when Natalie nodded. That sounds very pretty. It's going to look very handsome. Natalie leaned into his touch, resting their free hand around Matt's waist and pulling him close. Thank you. I love you. Matt wrapped his arms around his partner. You know that I love you, right? They nodded, leaning against Matt but also shifting a little. Sweetheart, Matt muttered. We've been doing this for almost 3 years. Last year, it has had a lot of ups and downs. You've cried a lot, and you have changed a lot. But at the same time, in the good moments, he brushed a kiss on their lips. You're happier than you have ever been. You're excited about the little things again. He smirked teasingly. You're doing happy jumps and cute little stims again. Stop making fun of it! Natalie laughed, pulling Matt closer. I just can't help it. Don't. Matt kissed him again. Don't stop stimming, don't stop changing and finding out who you really want to be. And please, never stop doing what makes you happy. He went to push a strand of hair out of their partner's face, but had to laugh when he didn't find one. No hair. Natalie laughed. No hair. Matt nodded, kissing them. For a moment, they stood there, together, until the pot started sizzling loudly and Natalie had to go back to save the dinner. Matt listened to him and started setting the table, then mixed some of the vegetables Natalie had cut into a quick salad. A few minutes later, they both sat down to eat. Sweetheart? Matt asked after a few minutes. Yeah? His partner answered between bites. You need anything? Matt shook his head. You said you don't like your name. Natalie was quiet for a moment, then hummed a hesitant agreement. Do you want to change it? Matt asked, carefully resting a hand on his partner's. Do you have a name that you think fits you better? Clint, he answered. I like Clint. Plus one, the ways the body changes. Clint, Matt asked a few days later, turning his chair vaguely in his boyfriend's direction. He chuckled fondly when it took the other a second to react to his new name, and the smile in Clint's voice when he did warmed Matt's heart. Yeah? He asked. What can I do for you, sweetheart? I'm pretty much done with my work for today, and I was thinking about something nice we could do tonight. Matt tilted his head a little. It's been way too long since we had an actual date. Clint hummed thoughtfully for a moment, then seemed to agree. I don't think we had a real date as boyfriend and boyfriend at all yet. Matt nodded. He didn't want to say it directly, but the thought had occurred to him as well. I think it's about time. Let me take you out. Clint had gotten up and was now pulling Matt to his feet as well. Let me take you to a nice restaurant for a few drinks, and then I want to take you home and see where the night leads. Hey, wasn't I the one trying to take you out just a few seconds ago? Matt chuckled in mock confusion, then leaned in for a kiss. He knew that, in the end, it didn't make much of a difference who was taking out whom for a date, but it meant something to Clint. It gave him gender euphoria, and for that alone, Matt happily played along. Yes, I would love that. Later that night, after Clint had taken Matt to his favorite restaurant, a nice walk through the park, and a few drinks in their favorite bar, Matt found himself pressed against the inside of their apartment door. Clint had pinned his hands above his head almost as soon as they had closed the door behind them and leaned in close. I want you, Clint purred, his breath sending a cold shiver down Matt's spine. Fuck, you're so hot, Matt breathed, turning them around smoothly so Clint was pressed against the wall with Matt leaning against him. I want to touch every inch of you. I want to kiss every bit and spend the whole night mapping out your entire body. Clint blushed, whining a little under the attention on his body but also giggling with delight. I want to feel just how handsome you are, and I want to hear all those pretty sounds you can make when I take you apart, pretty boy, he whispered into Clint's neck, brushing kisses on what little skin was free over the color of his dress shirt. I want you to tell me everything and anything that you like and don't like. I want to know your body just as well as I know mine. Clint shivered, and a soft sound that was almost a moan slipped out as he relaxed into Matt's touch and the safety of the door behind him. Come, bedroom, before you fall apart right here, pretty man. Matt chuckled, drawing Clint into another kiss and wrapping his arms around him. Love you, Clint breathed, letting himself get pushed into the bedroom and onto the mattress. Matt tilted his head a little, waiting for Clint to say something, but when he didn't, he just started undressing, teasingly slowly unbuttoning his shirt and dropping it to the floor before continuing with his slack, and finally following Clint onto the mattress, only dressed in his briefs. Can I undress you? Clint nodded and hummed a confirmation. His breath hitched, and Matt wasn't sure if it was because he was nervous or eager, or maybe both, but whatever it was, Clint was also excited and needy, barely managing to keep his hands off Matt long enough so the lawyer could undress his partner. Please. There's so many things I want to do with you, Matt rumbled, more to calm Clint than for himself. I want to touch all of you. I want to know what you look like, what you feel like. I want to hear what your voice sounds like when you moan, when you whine, and when you beg me to make you come. He brushed a kiss on his neck, lightly dragging his teeth over Clint's skin. I want to know what you taste like and smell like. I want to know everything about you, everything there is to know. While he muttered into Clint's neck, Matt's hands flew down his chest, deftly unbuttoning his shirt and carefully pushing it open so he could run his hands over Clint's chest and the smooth fabric hugging it tightly. You're so beautiful. Matt breathed, sitting up to chase his hands around Clint's chest and down his sides until he hit the edge of his jeans. Clint hummed, still slightly nervous but mostly enjoying the touch and the attention now. You're my handsome man. Matt promised as he followed the edge of Clint's waistband until he found the buttons and slowly slipped those open as well. I'm falling in love with you all over again, every day, every time I touch you, every time I kiss you. He brushed a kiss on Clint's stomach, then pushed his trousers off and ran a hand over his hips. If I could, I would never take my hands off you again. He traced them up his sides again, leaning over his boyfriend so he could lock their lips in a longing kiss. Matt, Clint moaned, his voice already rough with lust and his hips trembling where Matt's hands were just seconds earlier. Shh. Matt brushed another kiss on his lips, then started kissing a line down from Clint's throat, along his sternum through the binder, over his stomach, and finally down the faint happy trail to the open fly of his jeans. I've got you, sweetheart. He breathed through the fabric of Clint's boxers, making him shiver a little as he pushed the trousers down his legs. Tell me what you want, pretty boy. Matt pushed the elastic of Clint's boxes down a little so he could press a kiss there. I want... just... please... God, Matt! Clint stammered, clearly not able to form coherent sentences anymore. Please! How about to tell you what I want, and then you tell me what you think about that, huh? Matt sat up a little, resting his hands on Clint's bare thighs and gently running his thumbs over the sensitive skin there. Yeah. Clint's voice came out hoarse, and he nodded a little. Okay. Matt moved his fingers up a little, teasing Clint with calloused hands. I want to take your clothes off. Then I want to touch you, kiss you, and taste you. I want to get you right to the edge. I want you to beg for it and to cry for it. He kissed Clint's stomach again, licking over his belly button and chuckling as he squeaked in protest. And then I want you to fuck me. I want you to fuck me until I can see stars and fireworks and until the world doesn't make sense anymore. Matt, Clint breathed, barely managing to bring words out at all at that point. Tell me what you think, pretty little thing. Matt purred, pressing a long kiss into Clint's crotch through his boxers. Yes, please, Matt, please. Clint whined, kicking his jeans off and wriggling out of his shirt at the same time. Please. I think that's a pretty clear answer. Matt laughed, leaning over Clint again. What about this? He traced his hands along the upper edge of the binder. Clint just shook his head, so Matt nodded and kissed his throat again. Tell me if you change your mind, yeah? This time, Clint nodded, moaning quietly as Matt started tracing his lips, teeth, and tongue along his neck. You taste good. Matt grazed his teeth over his throat again, and slowly started moving down his front while his hands followed the curve of his body up to rest on Clint's waist. Sweet and salty and needy. So needy. Clint dropped his head back into the pillow, groaning under his breath and not quite knowing what to do with his limbs as Matt peppered kisses and soft bites all along his shoulders and the free bit of his chest over the fabric edge. Matt took a few minutes, making sure he got every bit of skin on Clint's neck and shoulders, and savored each little movement and sound Clint gave him before he moved down. He spent a moment running his hands along Clint's ribs before tracing them down to his hips. Matt continued where he left off, mapping out Clint's stomach between the bottom edge of his binder and the waistband of his boxers with his mouth. While Clint moaned and writhed with need, Matt held his hips in a gentle but steady grip, keeping Clint both from backing them up and from winding away from the attention. "You're so handsome," Matt told him, his breath sending a shiver over Clint's damp skin. "So beautiful and soft," he continued, starting to throw in sweet nothings and gentle praise between kisses and bites to make sure Clint was still comfortable and calm, and that he knew just how much Matt admired and enjoyed his body. "I wish I could spend all day doing this." Matt took his time, pushing Clint closer and closer to his orgasm long before he even started to pull his boxers down. When he did, Clint was already wet and moaning and trembling with every touch. His scent and the taste of his skin were intoxicating, and every sound Clint made threatened to drive Matt insane. "Need to..." Matt started, and his voice suddenly became breathy and rough as well. He cleared his throat and tried again. "I need to taste you." "Go for it." Clint managed to press it out, opening his legs as soon as Matt had pushed his boxers down far enough. Matt moaned a little as a stronger wave of scent hit him. Then he leaned down, spreading Clint open and not hesitating any more before licking over his crotch, not stopping before teasing his clit with quick, targeted movements that quickly made him come with a loud, almost shouted moan. "Shh." Matt brushed a soft kiss on Clint's stomach and gently soothed his thumb over Clint's hip. "You're doing so good, pretty boy." "Give me a minute," Clint muttered. He had his eyes closed and was lying on the mattress bonelessly. "All the time you need, sweetheart." Matt chuckled, sitting up to move Clint's clothes off the bed and then taking his own briefs off. While he did, he made sure to keep at least one hand on Clint, lightly soothing him as he collected himself for a few minutes. When Matt had thrown all their clothes into one pile, he lay down next to Clint, carefully pulling him to lie against himself. "Come here. Just a minute," Clint repeated, slurring slightly. "Take your time. I'm not in a hurry." He placed a kiss in Clint's short hair. "Just don't fall asleep on me." "I won't," Clint promised. "And if I do, just give me a few minutes and then you're allowed to wake me up." "No," Matt said, shaking his head. "I won't." Clint tried to lift his head, probably to frown at him, but gave up halfway through. "If you're already tired enough that you fall asleep, that means that we would both enjoy this a lot more if we waited until tomorrow." "You sure?" Clint asked hesitantly. "Yeah." Matt ran a hand through Clint's hair. "I can wait a few more hours if you need the rest." Clint nodded against him. For a moment, they were quiet. Then Clint sat up slowly and tilted his head. "I think I'm good," he decided, tracing his hand over Matt's chest. "You sure?" Matt teased, tracing his hand between Clint's legs just to coax another indignant moan from him. "Screw you," Clint complained without heat. "I need a little longer before I can go again, but I can start getting you ready if you stop that." "Okay," Matt smirked. "I'll keep my hands to myself." "Good boy," Clint growled, leaned over Matt to get a bottle of lube and the newest toy from his nightstand drawer and pick up a t-shirt from the ground on his side of the room. "Now, show me that pretty ass of yours." Matt chuckled, turning around and cradling one of the pillows to his chest as Clint squeezed a generous amount of lube on his fingers. It smelled sweet and like artificial fruit, but not overwhelming. "Sticky," Clint warned, waiting until Matt hummed a confirmation before starting to spread the skin-warm gel over Matt's hole. Matt winced a little at the sensation, but the warning helped, and Clint gently tracing a second hand over his back did the rest to soothe him. Only when Matt nodded again did Clint slowly start pushing one finger into him. He worked carefully, reacting to every movement and sound Matt made under him and making sure he didn't overwhelm the other man as he slowly spread him open. Freddy? He asked after a few minutes, when Matt was writhing around his finger and yearning for more at the same time. Yes, please, fuck me, Clint. Matt pleaded, trying to speak clearly even as his face was buried mostly in the pillow. If you ask me so nicely. Clint chuckled and Matt could hear him move behind him, trying to get the purple silicon dick into place without pulling his hand away. I'm sorry, he breathed after trying and failing for a moment. Clint placed a long kiss on the small of Matt's back, then slowly and carefully pulled his hand from his ass. With two hands, it only took Clint a few seconds to get the dildo into position against himself and looped up. But despite how fast he was ready to keep going, Matt was whining and clenching around nothing in front of him anyway. I know, I'm sorry. Clint breathed over his back, used one hand to position the dildo against Matt and the other to reach around him and started stroking him lightly as he pushed into him. Please, Matt moaned, burying his face deeper into the pillow and rounding his back as he was stretched fast and hard around Clint's dick. I've got you, the other promised, moaning a little himself as the dildo pressed against his still sensitive clit. I'll take good care of you, sweetie. Clint could hear a sort of pride and satisfaction in Clint's voice that he wasn't quite used to just yet, but that he started to fall in love with just as much as he did with every other part he had discovered of this version of his partner over his transition. Fuck, Clint, please! Matt all but begged, rocking back against Clint to get to push harder and faster into him. And you call me needy, huh? Clint teased, gently stroking Matt's dick and steadying both of them with his other hand on his partner's hips. Fuck you, Matt growled, a chuckling tone to his voice. No, sweetheart, Clint laughed, leaning over him to pepper kisses on his back and wrapping his arm around his waist instead. I'm fucking you. Clint pushed in as far as he could, moving with Matt as he reacted to Clint hitting his prostate. And I think you like that a lot more right now. He supported his partner, slowing down a little and giving Matt time to adjust. You're so beautiful, all stretched out around me. Clint. Matt groaned, not sure if he needed more or less, or what he wanted at all. He just knew that something wasn't right, but that he trusted Clint to make it okay. Shh, I've got you, my pretty boy. Clint hummed. He shifted, repositioning himself a little before he slowly started moving again. You're doing so great, sweetheart. You're taking my dick so well. He took his hand off Matt's dick so he could rest both hands on Matt's hip. After a moment, Matt was still tense, and he started trembling a little. Clint tried changing the position again, but when that didn't work, he pulled out carefully and laid a hand on his ass. Turn around, please. I want to see your reaction. I need to make sure you're okay. And I can't hear if you're okay, so I need to see it. Matt hummed unhappily at the loss, but at the same time, Clint could see him relax again. Please, I want you to enjoy this. Clint softly pushed him on his side before maneuvering his legs around himself so he could reach Matt's ass again. I am. Matt promised. It's been a while since you dated someone with a dick, and you need to get used to it again. Clint guessed, leaning over Matt to kiss him while also slowly pushing two fingers into him again. Yeah. Matt nodded. It's okay, I promise. Clint kissed him again, teasing his fingers over his prostate to make him moan. I heard you've been dating that hot guy for a while, but he doesn't really have the right equipment for this sort of stuff. He's really hot. Matt breathed, pulling a pillow over to put it under his head. Probably the hottest dude I've ever dated. Tell me what I can do to make you happy right now. Clint breathed, kissing Matt before sitting between his legs again so he could wrap his free hand around his dick and start stroking him softly again. Let's try again, Matt decided. It was nice, just a bit much at once, I think. Too many things or too fast? Clint asked after thinking about it for a second. Matt's hum transformed into a moan as Clint brushed his finger over his prostate again. Too many, he muttered then. I can go slow. Clint leaned over Matt again, brushing a kiss to his neck. I can go so slowly you won't even see me coming. There's so much wrong with that sentence. Matt chuckled, tipping his head back to allow Clint better access. Please don't stop. I will stop stopping shortly, Clint chuckled, leaving a faint love bite on his boyfriend's neck before moving down again and positioning the dildo. Ready? He asked, and when Matt nodded, he pulled his finger out, immediately replacing them with a dick and making Matt moan as he slowly and carefully pushed in. Fuck, I've missed this, Matt muttered, a little hesitant. You know that a girl can buy a dildo too, right? Then chuckled. No one said you had to wait until it happens to turn out that I'm not actually one for this. Shut up, Matt laughed, bucking his hip against Clint again, this time a lot less tense and overwhelmed than the first time. You're so beautiful like this. Clint said it again and pushed in all the way, making Matt cry out his name. So fucking hot. He let himself fall into the gentle rhythm again, until Matt started whining for more and rocking against him to make him move faster. Please, Clint, I'm ready. Matt pleaded. Please. Well, if you ask so nicely, who am I to say no? Clint muttered, moving faster and harder and leaning over Matt to start kissing everywhere he could reach. You're so beautiful. He started rumbling quiet compliments and praise, gently grounding Matt as he was starting to lose his grip on reality again. I could watch you like this forever. Don't stop. Matt all but begged, getting closer to his own orgasm with every stroke and every kiss, and noticing Clint getting even more touchy and energetic with every time the silicone hit his crotch and grazed his clit. If you're... Matt tried to bring out a sentence, but the words were stuck somewhere between his mind and his throat. If you're good... good... fuck, just don't stop. You don't have to promise me a rod for fucking your brains out, sweetheart. Clint breathed against his sweat-damp skin. Seeing you like this is reward enough. Believe me. He started licking Matt's nipple and wrapped his hand around Matt's dick at the same time, not stroking him but adding enough stimulation with the pressure to push Matt over the edge. Matt was shaking again, crying out a moan and digging his nails into the sheets, but this time it was the good kind of overstimulation. God, you're so hot like this. Clint breathed, carefully pulling out and grabbing the t-shirt to clean up the mess that was spread over both their stomachs. You did so good for me. You took me so well. Matt smiled dorkily, humming a laugh and swatting aimlessly for Clint's hand to try and pull him towards himself. 1 second, sweetheart. Clint brushed a kiss on his stomach. Just let it clean this up so you can relax. Matt smiled even brighter, hoping it conveyed the thanks he couldn't put into words at that moment. Love you too, Clint muttered, kissing Matt softly as he threw the t-shirt into the laundry basket without looking and lay down next to Matt. You smell like good sex, Clint muttered, wrapping his arm around his partner and burying his face against his neck. You smell like good sex, Matt muttered, lightly resting his arm around Clint but not moving otherwise. Too much? Clint asked worriedly, carefully cupping Matt's face and tracing a thumb along his jaw. You try taking a dick up your ass and we talk. Matt chuckled fondly, but leaned up to kiss Clint. Not too much. I just need a moment. Okay, Clint shuffled to lay closer against his boyfriend. And I definitely would take your dick up my ass. He whispered into Matt's ear, making him moan softly again. I'll take you up on that. Matt kissed him again. But not right now. No, right now we cuddle and enjoy the rest of this very nice date night. Clint agreed. We could do that. Matt nodded against him. Then he carefully pushed his hand down Clint's stomach and lightly rested it on his crotch. Or we could just... not end it just yet. You're insufferable. Clint shook his head, but he also rested his hand on Matt's and moved it slightly so his middle finger was touching his most sensitive spot. I appreciate you taking this hardship for my enjoyment. Matt whispered as Clint started moaning quietly when Matt started massaging his still sensitive clit. The things I would do for you. Clint chuckled again. He rolled back onto his back and gently pulled Matt to lean over him. For a moment, Matt fingered his boyfriend and sat in kissing his neck and jaw again. You're so hot. He breathed, dragging his teeth over Clint's skin and the bruises he knew were there from the first round. I can't believe I get to call you my boyfriend. Wait. Clint pushed Matt off gently. No, not that. Keep going. He shook his head, chuckling and pushing Matt's hand against his own crotch as he wanted to pull back. I just want to... He sat up a little and pulled his bander up and over his head with little effort. I want you to touch me everywhere. Matt hummed happily, trailing his free hand over Clint's chest and resting it against his ribs. I love every part of you. Matt breathed, peppering a line of soft kisses along the middle of Clint's chest. And I'm so glad I get to be here with you on this journey. I love you. Clint tilted his head to look up at Matt. This. He started and trailed off for a moment. Sex can be very dysphoria inducing. Matt nodded, brushing a kiss on his neck. You taking this at my speed makes it good. kinda healing. You're my incredibly hot boyfriend, I told him, feeling for his breast and softly sucking on his nipple. You're trans, and you're still figuring yourself out, and a lot of the time, you're not happy with where you are right now. But you're hot, and I love you, and I want you. I have loved you since we met, and I will support you. Always. He pushed his thumb into Clint, making him moan and buck his hip. And I will never get tired of hearing that sound. Don't stop talking, please. Then breathe, reaching up to touch Matt's face and trace the thumb over his lips. You're so beautiful. I love you. Matt kissed his thumb. You're so hot. He climbed over Clint and started kissing his neck again without stopping to finger him closer and closer to his second orgasm. I could just spend all of eternity kissing you and learning about you and falling in love with you over and over and over again. He locked their lips in a long kiss, enjoying the slightly strangled moans Matt let out as he started lightly twisting his right nipple. You're the best boyfriend anyone could ever dream of. He kissed him again. Show me how loud you can be, handsome man. Matt whispered into his neck. Matt, then breathed, arching his back and wrapping his hand around Matt's arm. Please don't stop. I won't. Matt chuckled, kissing him again. I'm right here, and I won't go anywhere. He promised, softly biting and kissing along Clint's shoulder and working his way down. When he wrapped his lips around Clint's left nipple, lightly sucking and licking it, Clint came with a soft cry. His voice was breaking slightly now, and he was clenching his hand around Matt's arm, making him flinch slightly when Clint dug his nails into his skin. Sorry. Clint breathed, but Matt just kept going, gentling him through it and rolling off him when Clint was a shaking, panting mess under his hands and lips. I love you. Matt breathed into Clint's hair, wiping his hand on the sheets and pulling the blanket over them. I'm so proud of you, my beautiful man. He ran his hands through Clint's short hair and smiled automatically. You're so, so perfect. I need you to stop talking now, Clint muttered unhappily, because I really, really don't want to miss this, but my head is bursting with noise and sound into insane, amazing orgasms and... Matt cut him off with a gentle kiss. You taught me ASL for a reason, didn't you? Clint closed his eyes and nodded against Matt's shoulder. I did. He chuckled and kissed his neck. And you learned it for me. I did. Matt agreed, laughing. And I would do it all over again for you. He carefully cupped Clint's face and brushed a kiss on his forehead. You earned yourself some quiet. When Clint nodded, Matt carefully slipped his hearing aids off his ears, turned them off, and put them down on the nightstand. I love you, Clint Barton.